Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, things just got even worse for those ex-Minneapolis police officers. Second, a man arrested for selling phony vaccination cards. Third, Letitia Stauch is getting a new attorney. Fourth, man on the way to anger management class killed while charging a woman with a knife. A pro golfer is arrested, and finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, and a recap of our contestants throughout the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button, as well as hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. All right, first on the docket, things just went from bad to worse for those ex-Minneapolis police officers. Why, you may ask? Well, a federal grand jury indicted former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin and three of the other former officers charged in violating George Floyd's civil rights last year during his arrest, which caused his death. A move that could offer further accountability in this case, and obviously we know it sparked a whole lot of controversy. Prosecutors have charged that Chauvin, Alexander Koenig, Tao Tao, who participated in apprehending Floyd, who's black, will stand trial on two counts each. Former police officer Thomas Lane will face a single charge in the case. This announcement came less than 3 weeks after Derek Chauvin was found guilty of three counts regarding the death of George Floyd. He is now awaiting sentencing. In a separate indictment, Chauvin will also face two counts of violating the rights of a 14-year-old boy during an arrest in September of 2017, in which the officer is accused of holding the boy by the neck and hitting him twice with a flashlight, resulting in injuries. Koenig, Lane, and Tao are facing state charges as well of aiding and abetting the second-degree murder and manslaughter in the case of Floyd's death. Their trial is set to begin in late August. Koenig is black, Lane is white, and Tao is Asian American. The federal charges could obviously add additional time to any penalties that Derek Chauvin is going to receive, in addition to any charges that the other officers may be found guilty of, if they are in fact found guilty. Now, the federal government says that they have a responsibility to protect the civil rights of every American and to pursue justice to the fullest extent of the law. That was a statement by the Attorney General up there in Minnesota, Keith Ellison. Now, the Justice Department believes that this decision to bring charges against the officers was a result of an intensive investigation where they had attorneys on the ground for months, not because of the violence or the current atmosphere at the Department of Justice, simply about the law. Now, of course, it would seem as though if they were going to bring civil rights violations, they could have done it before the Derek Chauvin trial and had a federal trial, but they waited until the very end. Don't you wish that the government would protect everybody's civil rights as Americans? That would seem to make sense as well. It's a shame that it has to bring the death of a man for civil rights to be enforced, because, you know, we have those. All Americans do. That's the purpose of government, right? The purpose of government is not to protect you, but to make sure that when others violate your civil rights, that there is a prosecution. There is a remedy for that. The job of the government is to protect your civil rights. That's it. That's all anyone should ask for from the government. Now, historically, winning convictions against officers has been somewhat difficult. Prosecutors needed to clear a higher standard than in a normal self-defense case. And there's been a study that found in a period between 2005 to 2014, when perhaps 10,000 Americans were allegedly killed by police, 153 officers were charged, or about 1.5%. Now, this is according to a database maintained by Philip Matthew Stinson at Bowling Green University. Of those cases, 139 resulted in dispositions, i.e. a plea bargain or some sort of conviction at trial. 55% of those cases resulted in convictions, most by a guilty plea. Now, this database that's maintained by Mr. Stinson also captures non-shooting cases. His research found 58 murder or manslaughter cases that did not involve a gun. Of the 51 cases with known results, about 65% resulted in a conviction, but only 47% of the cases ended with a felony conviction. Take those numbers and think about that. Historically, police officers have been charged when they clearly cross the line. I'm sure lots of people, as have I, have seen cases where you thought charges should have been filed, but were not because the police were given the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, we've seen a change of that in the last year, and I think that trend is going to continue until, well, probably to the point where you can't get police officers to serve anymore because, frankly, it's just too dangerous. And who's going to go literally try to get killed making roughly $60,000 a year? Most people think that may not be worth it. I think I'll try to do something a little less risky. We'll obviously continue to follow all of these cases related to the death of George Floyd. Next on the docket, a California bar owner has been busted for making phony vaccination cards. Now, I'm not really sure what to think of this. First, why would this bar owner really want to make fake ID cards and sell them? Who wants to buy them? And even more concerning is, I guess, that the police had so much time on their hands that they thought this was worthy of investigation? I'm just not sure. I really don't know what to make of this story. Somebody's selling them, somebody's buying them, and the police are investigating it. Can you imagine the man hours that went into it? Because apparently they made 8 undercover buys with undercover agents in this particular case. Is this like a gateway crime? I mean, last time I saw federal authorities prosecuting fake IDs, it was where people were selling fake green cards out on a street corner. Wouldn't it be easier to just go get your vaccine than it would be to get a fake card, let alone risking possession of a forged document? I don't know. I'm just not sure what to make of this story. All around, it just seems rather ridiculous to me. Next on the docket, Letitia Stauch is getting a new public defender. And this is a little confusing, so I'm going to try to make it as clear as possible based upon what we have been able to discover. Now, Letitia Stauch had a hearing just the other day asking for an attorney to be reappointed to her case. Previously, she had the Office of the Public Defender there in El Paso County. Very good, very competent attorneys. She wanted to proceed pro se against the advice of everyone. She thought she could do this. Ultimately, she apparently thought this may be a little more difficult than what I anticipated. She stopped going to the law library, which resulted in her suspension of the law library, and then she wrote a note to the court saying, I want a new attorney, but she wants an attorney at state expense other than the public defender's office. So, there was a hearing yesterday. The judge reappointed the office of the public defender. Now, as I understand it, and it seems to be very unclear, but then there was yet another hearing in front of another judge. Why do they have that hearing in front of another judge? To see if there is a conflict that exists between Letitia Stauch and her public defenders. According to everything that I have seen, and this really chaps my hide, that I cannot access a public court file and see what the minute orders are. And, you know, the court hasn't put up on their official page the document that they think we are entitled to see. I'm not sure why they do that. It's a public record. Anyway, it would appear as though the second judge held the hearing and found that a conflict exists. So the matter is now set for a hearing on May 10th for the appearance of counsel. This, I believe, is going to be private counsel appointed by the Office of the Alternate Defense Counsel. So she has got her way. She has received private defense counsel at state expense. We'll see who enters on Monday. We'll also have to wait and see how much time they request to get up to speed. We know there's roughly some 26,000 pages of documents and a ton of video plus investigation that needs to be done. I would anticipate that at the earliest, this case will proceed to preliminary hearing in about 4 to 6 months. Maybe I'm a little pessimistic there. Maybe the judge will force them to move a little faster, but I think that's where we're headed. Now, one of the witnesses scheduled for the preliminary hearing, or at least they're an endorsed witness, is Letitia Stout's daughter. Normally, witnesses other than the detective are not called at the preliminary hearing. However, the prosecutors may be using this as somewhat of a ploy to basically say, hey, this is getting real. And when your own daughter is going to come to court and say, yes, you asked me to bring carpet cleaning materials home, things may start to get real for Miss Letitia Stout. It may sink in, hey, this is serious business. And boy, I bet she's glad she's got those attorneys now. We'll wait and see who enters on Monday. Next on the docket, can you believe this? A man who was on his way to anger management class was shot and killed. Yep, that's right. He was 54 years old. His name is not being identified, but we do know that the home that he entered into, and when he arrived at that home and entered into it without lawful permission and justification, grabbed a knife and began going room to room looking for the individuals in the house. The woman homeowner fatally shot the man who broke into her house. Now, there was apparently a domestic violence injunction on him, so he was not supposed to be there in any way, shape, or form. Needless to say, that injunction was only worth the paper it was written on. I've said that before. You gotta take care of yourself. You have to be able to take care of yourself. The irony of this, of course, was that the man was on his way to anger management class, which was probably the underlying issues as it related to the domestic violence incident. You just can't make this stuff up. Before we proceed with the docket, let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. All right. Welcome back. I'm telling you, crimetalksearch.com, everybody should get that subscription. I'm telling you, it's the best thing you've ever done. And the beautiful thing about it is, let's say you don't want to necessarily want to check on anybody, except maybe a girlfriend, a spouse, a boyfriend, right? Whatever. And see if they have other email addresses that show up that are being used, or phone numbers. That would mean that they have a burner phone or an email. They have an email address for, you know, accessing their Tinder accounts or other dating sites. This stuff comes up. I receive testimonials all the time. People telling me this happens. I'm not making this stuff up. You should check it out. If you have any doubts or concerns, check it out. It would give you a peace of mind. All right. Next on the docket, take a look at this guy. Now, people are saying he's a professional golfer. He's not really a professional golfer. He doesn't hold any PGA cards, but he's got a problem. And I don't think he'll ever hold a PGA card either. Meet Daniel Bolling. Now, he's a professional golfer in the sense that he apparently is a golf pro and teaches golf. I bet if we did some further investigation, we'd find out that he loves to teach young teenage girls how to golf. He may have a proclivity for that. Why? Well, it turns out he is under arrest because he was interacting and sending some lewd and lascivious photographs to what turned out to be a police officer, but he thought was a 15-year-old girl. Somehow, I think that the next country club that Mr. Bowling works at, they will do a background check, and he won't be teaching golf, but maybe, if he's lucky, he'll be mowing the lawn or washing some dishes. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Blair Witten. Her boyfriend passed away. Apparently, she made some very disparaging remarks on social media about her now deceased boyfriend. She wasn't invited to the funeral, but she showed up anyway. Apparently, family members from the deceased asked her to leave. So she did. She just tried to do so while running over people at the cemetery, scaring the hell out of just about everyone. Now, Ms. Witten stated that she was asked to leave. She had multiple people approach her car and that she was leaving, and she was trying to do so as carefully as possible so that she wouldn't disturb anything whatsoever. So other than driving across the cemetery at the individuals, that's her idea of discretion. Well, she's been charged with a misdemeanor count of reckless endangerment and has pled not guilty. Now, let's have a quick recap of our dumb criminal contestants of the week, and you all get to vote. Leave us your comments below. We'll tally it up, and we'll see who the winner is. And what will the winner receive? Could it be some Crime Talk swag? That's right. That's what the winner gets. As we have said it before, if you would like some Crime Talk swag, let us know. All you got to do is hit the link below. Pick out what you want. They ship it to you. You'll have it in no time. Send me a picture with your mugshot. And that's right. We'll put it up on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We love our subscribers. All right. Monday, Sean Gazzo and Carl Jackson. All right. That duo. They'd have to share the cup like they were going to share the loot. Well, they stole jewelry from an 86-year-old man. Then they went to the pawn shop trying to get money for it, which they did. They were caught on video doing a little jig outside of the pawn shop because they were so excited. Well, as anyone would know, that every item that goes to a pawn shop is run through police records and databases. The items came up stolen, and the two, Sean Gazzo and Carl Jackson, were arrested. Why? That's right, because they were on video. Like everything in the world these days, you two knuckleheads. Tuesday, Gail Metwally, 47, from Cecil County, Maryland, was charged with setting her home on fire while people were still inside. Yep, there's a video of that. And she is literally sitting in the front lawn in the lawn chair watching the fire destroy her home. She did leave right before the police arrived, but you get the picture. Wednesday, and I'm going to slaughter this name, Nikolai Lokuchinkov from Pennsylvania, was apparently incredibly intoxicated. So intoxicated that when the police arrived, they found him burning $100 bills with lighter fluid in front of a fire pit. And on top of the fire pit was, well, his dog. That's right, that he was burning. He was barbecuing his dog. He had apparently shot the dog accidentally in the eye and thought either A, it's going to be a cremation, or B, it's going to be a barbecue, and they wanted to see if it tastes like chicken. Next, on Thursday, we had Nicholas Newhart, 39. Tennessee refused to leave Kid Rock's bar when he was confronted by police officers and security guards and was having nothing to do with their request to leave. He then showed them, that's right, he reached deep into his pants, pulled out his colostomy bag, and started swinging it, resulting with officers being struck by feces from Mr. Newhart's colostomy bag. And then finally today, Miss Witten trying to run people over at her dead boyfriend's funeral. You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. All right, thanks for watching. It's been a busy week. Make sure, if you haven't had a chance to watch all the videos, to catch our recap of all the big stories on Saturday morning. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.